One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Yes! Hey guys! Welcome back to Not Thriving Podcast episode 16. Yay! Would you guys believe me if I told you that one time I almost got human trafficked by a lady who looked just like how I look right now? Who would believe this? No one. Because I know every single one of y'all is thinking right now in your little brain, you're thinking, who the hell would want to human traffic me? Guys, trust. Everyone wants a piece of this. I was with my friend and we were at the, okay, this is a cautionary tale. I was at a lookout point in Los Angeles, like one of those little lookouts where like you drive up to the mountain and you like look over the view of LA. If you're from Southern California, you might know about this. Well, I was doing one of those with my friend. We were about 17, 18. And this man came up to us and was like, he was like really into our like tea. Like he really wanted like a tease of us. And we kept telling him, we were like, we're minors. And he was like, I don't care. He was like, when do you turn 18? And then he asked us to go and like get some food with him. I'm like, sir, I drove here in a Tesla. You think I'm going to go in the back of your pickup truck with six other people in it? I'm not going to be doing that. In the back of the truck was this woman. And she had a DVD.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
I stare in her eyes and she looked just like this, but she was staring at us during the whole conversation like they were together. And I remember asking him, I was like, who is that lady and why is she staring at us? And he was like, that's just my friend. Oh, babe, we were about to get trafficked. So yeah, anyways, hey guys, welcome to Not Thriving episode 16. It's me, yeah, your host, me. And big things are happening today. I'm really looking forward to this episode for so many reasons. Reason number one, because I love this podcast. Reason number two, because I have so much to talk about today. For usual, I'm just spilling out with topics. And reason number three is that I am so happy, 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 happy. How does everyone have their shit together but me? I'm noticing this. Hey, I've been noticing this. Everyone has their shit together but me. It's like, why am I going on Instagram? Okay, and I know that like social media isn't real, but it's like, okay, it kind of is though. If you really think about it, it's like you kind of like realize that it is kind of real. Because everyone's like, everyone wants to show the most perfect parts of their life on social media. And it's like, if I'm showing my life on social media, it's because my life kind of is perfect at that time. I'm not one to fake it. I haven't posted anything on my Instagram, on TikTok, on Snapchat in months. It's been months. But recently I've been thinking like, okay, yeah, I don't share my life on social media because social media is like where I go when I'm happy and want to show my life. But yesterday was 4th of July and I was going on Instagram and why is everyone on boats? Why is everyone getting to do fun things? And then me, I'm at home doing nothing. It's like, why is everyone's life so perfect right now and mine just isn't? And I know it's not and I know that's not true, but I'm like, guys, something is wrong here. I don't know. It's just like, does everyone have their shit together about me? According to God, the answer is no. But according to my damn eyeballs, yes. Yeah, everyone was doing fun things yesterday. Everyone was on boats. Everyone was having fun. Meanwhile, I was like in my bathroom at 3 p.m. seeing the Hat Man, per usual, in a dimly lit room. Like, this is my life. And let's open up about this. Let's get real. I have just been so sad and anxious. Oh, shut up. Yes. I don't really know why I've been sad and anxious. And at this point, who gives a fuck? Who gives a fuck? Because I'm over it. I'm over it. I don't even give a damn. The course of action when you're anxious, depressed, going through stuff is like, oh, fix it. I'm done. I don't give a damn. So I'm on the, like, what am I doing these days? I'm like flop maxing. I'm doing this new thing called flop maxing. I came up with it. It's where you do everything in your power to become the worst version of yourself. Yeah, I'm having a good time with it, guys. By this, what do I mean? I mean, not doing things on time. I mean, missing deadlines for your work. I mean, not doing your work. I mean, looking your worst. I mean, not washing your face. And I mean, all of these things. And it's doing me well because I kind of am just like ceasing to exist, you know, and it feels good. It's just like, if I say no to everything, if I just completely flop on everything I'm doing, then what's the worst thing that can happen? Probably that I'll like lose my job and everyone will hate me and like whatever, but it's like, whatever. Where's my boat? Where's my white friends? Where are my things? Where is my hot dog? I want a hot dog. I don't even eat meat, but I would have done it. I would have done it if it meant I could go on a fucking boat. I would have done a lot of things to go on a boat yesterday. So yeah, it's sad. And everyone start to feel bad for me, please. Let's start feeling bad maxing for me. Feeling bad for Antonio Garza maxing. I think it's going to be in the new trend. I've been really flop maxing recently. I'm coming out of it though. I'm getting out of it. Today I got up and did this. So I'm feeling good today. But yeah, I've been staying up till like 7 a.m. Hey, another sign that something is probably wrong. But what is wrong with TikTok? What's up with TikTok? I've been feeling something weird happening on TikTok, and it's not good. I have been scrolling. I've been scrolling on TikTok a lot recently, and what have I been seeing? Nothing of substance. But when it gets to nighttime, during my depression scrolls on TikTok, I am seeing things that no one should be seeing. And it's only when it hits like past 3 a.m. or when these videos start to be recommended to me, suddenly it's ghosts. Suddenly it's demons are real. Demon everything. And the Sasquatch lives next door. Because I'm serious, it's nasty. That or it's like deadly plane crashes, car crashes, and like dead bodies. You know, that's what my TikTok FYP is, past 3 a.m. Don't go on TikTok past 3 a.m. challenge tag. But I've been doing it. And it doesn't feel good. But it's been making me think about my ghost stories. Because now, I don't know, it's been like the past few days. I'm telling you guys, does anyone relate to this? It's like, how does my TikTok FYP know to give me like the scariest videos, but only past 3 a.m.? And it puts me in like the worst possible headspace before going to bed, like full panic, anxiety, panic attacks because I'm about to die. Like in my head, I'm like, okay, so a ghost is about to kill me now. And like my whole vibe shifts and it's like the worst thing imaginable. That's like the state of being I've sort of been in before going to bed for the past week. And yeah, but it's been making me think about some ghost stories. So I'm like, should I tell some ghost stories today? I don't know why. I was going to save the ghost stories for Halloween, but that seems like a long time. And yeah, so I'm going to do it today, I think. But before we get into the ghost stories, I think there's something else that I want to touch on that needs to be said, and I need to start ranting. You know, this is to get me into the mood. You guys, it is prime summertime, and if you are looking for something fun to do, oh, I have just the thing. Summer 2025 is the summer of concerts, and there is no better way to do a concert than with SeatGeek. With over 28 million downloads, SeatGeek is the number one rated ticketing app, and there are more than 70,000 events listed on SeatGeek, including concerts, sports games, festivals, and more. And guess what? Right now, you can get tickets to so many artists, such as Beyoncé, perhaps. Hey, perhaps Beyoncé? Coldplay, Katy Perry, The Weeknd, so many people. And I love buying tickets on SeatGeek. They make it so easy. Each ticket is rated on a scale of 1 to 10, so you know if you're getting a good deal. So look for the green dots, because green means good and red means bad. Also, every ticket is backed by their buyer guarantee, so you don't have to worry about a dang thing when getting tickets on SeatGeek. No matter what happens, they will make sure that you get into your event safe and sound. Guys, I am fresh off of two nights of seeing Blackpink at SoFi Stadium, and it was such a blast. And I actually used SeatGeek to buy tickets, and they made it so easy for me. It's super straightforward, and SeatGeek makes the whole process a breeze. Let's get out of the house this summer and do something fun. And you know what? I'll help you, because you can use my code, NOTTHRIVING10, for 10% off your next set of tickets with SeatGeek. That's 10% off tickets with promo code NOTTHRIVING10. Make sure to click the link in the description to download the app and have the code automatically added to your account so you could use it whenever. Thank you, SeatGeek. Love you. You guys, I have said on this podcast many times that I am not big on trends, but I am big on buying clothes that feel good and last. It's all about making educated purchases these days and buying things that are worth your money, and that's why I keep going back to Quince. Their lightweight layers and high-quality staples have become my new everyday essentials. Quince has all the things that you actually want to be wearing this summer, like dresses made from organic cotton and European linen, as well as tops, shorts, skirts, swimwear, tanks and tees, and sweaters for any and all occasions, perfect for vacations, summer nights out, backyard hangouts, to nice dinners. The best part, everything from Quince is half the cost of similar brands. By working directly with top artisans and cutting out the middleman, Quince gives you luxury pieces without the markups. Who doesn't love that? And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices for premium fabrics and finishes. You guys, I really love Quince, and I know that you guys will too. I was sent a few pieces from there, and let me just say, the quality is out of this world and really rivals a lot of the high-quality brands that I usually wear, but Quince gives the quality at a fraction of the price. This summer, let's stick to the staples that last with elevated essentials from Quince. Go to quince.com/notthriving for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/notthriving to get free shipping and 365-day returns, you guys. quince.com/notthriving. Thank you, Quince, for sponsoring this episode of the Not Thriving Podcast. This is an ad by BetterHelp. A common denominator between me, all of my friends, and every single person in my family, and you know what? Pretty much every single person I've ever met, is that we are all very stressed out by our jobs and by our workplaces. Studies show that workplace stress is now one of the top causes of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce experiencing higher than normal levels of stress. Unfortunately, most of us don't have the privilege to just drop everything and say goodbye to our jobs, try to improve our mental health. But I think something that we do all have access to and may not be utilizing enough is the ability to reach out to others for help. And that is where BetterHelp comes in. I've used BetterHelp multiple times in the past, and it has really, really, really helped me and been the most convenient way for me to get therapy at multiple different parts of my life. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, serving over 5 million people globally. And one of those people has been me before. I've talked about how I've used BetterHelp extensively when I was going through a really tough breakup that I've actually recently opened up about a lot. And it was vital for me to use therapy and have access to someone who was willing to listen to me and, you know, talk me through everything I was going through, because it's tough. As the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a diverse variety of expertise. And our listeners can get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/notthriving. That's betterhelp.com/notthriving. Thank you, BetterHelp, so much for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. And let's get back to it. Before we get into the ghost stories, I think there's something else that I want to touch on that needs to be said, and I need to start ranting. You know, this is to get me into the mood. There's this show I've been watching. And am I proud of watching this show? No. Yes. No, I don't know. Okay, so that's... I have been watching a show called Love Island. Who's heard of it? I don't know where to begin with this. I don't know where to begin, because this is truly TV gold. Okay, I don't watch that much reality TV, except for the fact that I do. And I love watching Drag Race, of course. And I love Love is Blind, because that's always the drama of it all. Like, I love a little reality and I love a little drama. But Love Island takes it to the next level. And I was so above it for so long. Like, I was so like, oh, I'm like too cool for Love Island. Like, I'm not one of those straights, those straggots. I would never. So here I am. Here I am. And I'm proud. You know, I was so ignorant to TV gold. I wasn't letting myself accept the fact that there was something so beautiful waiting for me. And I was destined to waste 1 hour a day for 3 weeks straight watching Love Island. And I'm so happy and I'm proud to be part of the community. I really am. And I hope that you guys will accept me, because yes, I started watching because I saw Ooh, okay, let's get into it. Yeah, I saw the freaks. The freaks talking about Hoda.
Hoda.
Get her name out your fucking mouth, bitch. And no, no, because no, she has not been my sister since yesterday. No, I'm not like you freaks, you idiot freaks, because I've been a fan of her since day one, since I started watching the damn show. Because here's the damn thing. I watched this show because of Hoda, because of the FYP. It was giving me all the videos about her saying, oh, she's a crazy person. She's disgusting. She needs to be kicked off the show. Hoda needs to be kicked off of Love Island. With the way that people were talking about Hoda, I could have sworn that she killed 7 people in cold blood. I watched the show. And to my surprise, she's just a girl. Like, that's like everyone I know ever. And that's like everyone ever. I'm sorry. And I've seen people on TikTok and on Twitter saying, oh, the only people who like Hoda are the ones who are just as emotionally unstable as her. Oh, okay. Oh, so that must mean something about you. And this is what I'm going to assume, is that you're a Shelly and Ace fan. What something about you is that you don't value yourself because you want to be with a man like Ace. Don't get me started on his 5'6" disgusting ass, and he's the bitch, and he needs to go. We'll get to him later. Back to Hoda. Yeah, I could have sworn that people that she was, you know, a literal predator to this earth. And I watched it, and she was just sickening all the way through. I mean, yeah, she has her mistakes and she has her flaws, but no one owns up to their damn flaws like that girl does. No one. And no one, it seems like no one feels remorse like she does, except for Amaya. And like, it's not cute the way people were treating her. And it really disgusted me. I'm like, God, I cannot deal with people. Like, I thought Drag Race fans were bad. And then I started watching Love Island. And oh my God, any bad thing I've ever had to say about any Drag Race watcher, oh, you freaks out there, oh, I'm sorry. Because you know what? You know what? There is nothing worse than a straight person with an opinion. There is nothing. And I don't want to fucking hear them. But that's like the Love Island tease. So who else is my favorites? Let's talk about this really quick. And let's talk about my opinions. Do I think that Jeremiah and Hannah should have gone home? I'm going to say no. And there are people trying to defend this to this day saying, oh, well, blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry. Iris should have gone home. And there I said it. And I'm going to say something really controversial and upsetting to many. I thought originally when they were sending home people, I thought Amaya should have gone home. And I was actually quite upset that she didn't. Of course, looking back now, I'm like, okay, well, thank Jesus Christ that she didn't go home. And thank God, like, I don't even feel deserving to have had the opportunity to get to know Amaya further, because she is Jesus. Better than, actually. She is fully the best, most kind-hearted person I've ever seen on a reality TV show ever. Like, I swear to God, she just is an amazing watch. And I love her so much. And I'm so glad that she was able to go through such a journey on the show, being, you know, not well received at first by, I think, a lot of people. And then, you know, getting to show her true self so authentically throughout, like, all these episodes and challenges and relationships and tribulations that she's gone through. And we have just fallen in love with her. And I do feel bad for judging her at first. Of course, she had some moments. But I mean, it's just insane how much I love that girl. Like, who's with me? I love her because she's so herself. She's so beautiful. Like, holy F. Like, holy earth. But at the same time of all of it, she has like a beautiful spirit. Like, her spirit is and soul and vibe is just pure and beautiful. And she also has the intelligence to back it up. I saw someone say on TikTok, they were like, she is a master at separating her inner child and inner adult and like nurturing her inner child. And that is something that I wish I could do. That actually, when I heard someone say that, I was like, oh, okay, so I'm just gonna end it all now, because I think I'm past that. My inner child is like traumatized. Anyway, so Amaya for the crown. Yes, crown and 100K. I'm sorry, there's also an Andrina hate train. And oh my God, no one is giving her the damn credit. And this is what I'm saying. There are evil, evil, evil people commenting about her. And the evil fans of this show with their evil opinions. Because everyone wants to say, oh, Andrina is the flop. She's the chop and she is done. And she's like the worst and she's a mean girl. Okay, so can you blame a bitch for doing something that I know you would fucking do? Context. She like kind of like was a little two-faced and like was nice to Hoda's face, but then kind of talked shit about Hoda vaguely behind her back. Okay, so let's be honest, guys. Who wouldn't do that? Not saying I would, but I totally would. But like would have, let me say would have, like that was kind of my vibe when I was like around people like that. Like when you're, it's almost like you have to fend for yourself in these situations. I see the type of person she is, and I see she's just trying to fit in, you know, and that made me feel bad for her. And I bet she regretted it. But yeah, everyone's saying Andreina is like a mean girl and like all this. I'm not falling for the propaganda. And to see everyone now say that she's a mean girl and boring. Oh yeah, that's what I was saying. Brian wants to go and say that she was fucking boring. You're a man. Do something. Say something then. Hey, you're the man. Start the conversation then. I don't want to believe it. I'm not going to believe it. That's my sister. She has a good vibe to her. I would never go on that show. I would never last a damn day in Love Island because the way that people's opinions would piss, they wouldn't even get to me. They would piss me off because I know that everyone who has some shit to say about any of these people, like especially the girls, I'm like, y'all would do it too. Y'all, if y'all were put in the position that they were put in with 24-hour surveillance for 6 weeks, I'm like, oh, I can only imagine. Just think about what the fuck they would find on you, what people would say about you, you know? And so people who have like all these opinions and stuff, I'm like, okay, you guys got to chill it out sometimes. But also me, like literally about to pass out from screaming about this and these people for like 30 minutes. Like, I'm not really want to talk here because, yeah, I'd probably get ripped to shreds if I was on the show too. I would probably get ripped to shreds for being like a slut. I don't really know. And let's talk about the boys. Let's do it. And I have a boyfriend, so I'm not really, I'm like married, you know, but I'm not even going to go that in because like, I don't really have that many strong opinions about the men this year. Obviously, Jeremiah is beautiful, but like his vibe is kind of like a little bit demonic to me, but just a little bit. Like, I think he's good enough, you know, good enough for me to be happy if he gets success after the show. I've been seeing him do a lot of streams. I literally woke up this morning and the first thing I saw was a picture of Vanilla Mace with Jeremiah. Like, and it's like a picture on her Instagram story. And I literally thought I was in the Matrix. And that was the first thing I saw when I woke up. Like, I thought I was dying. Like, I'm sorry, what in the Mad Libs are you talking about? That Vanilla Mace and Jeremiah from Love Island met up and took a photo and put it on their Instagram story. And I'm assuming they met at the FaZe party, the FaZe Banks 4th of July party. Which, why wasn't I invited to that? Let's talk about this. Okay, let's not. So, next, let's talk about Austin. I really struggle here. I do. And let me tell you why. Because with Austin, it's always the, oh, well, I don't really like what he stands for, but he's so funny. And it's like, okay, I'm really like a man hater. I'm not remembering the word and I don't even want to say it because it just sounds like a slur. But is it a masochist? No, it's a misandrist. And there I said it. Yeah. You're welcome. I don't like men. And so I do find it hard to like say good things about Austin, considering what we know about his political views. Being very honest, when it comes to people on reality TV, I always form my opinion on them based off of how I think they would treat me. Like, that is like number one in my head. I'm like, would they fuck with my vibe? Because if not, then like they're the chop. If I think that they would get along with me, then like they must be a good person, which like, okay, hey, that's probably not true. But with Austin, I'm going to use that as an example here. I don't know how he would act with me. Would Austin see me? I think it'd be one of two things. I think he would either like play slur roulette, try to figure out like which slur to call me. That could be a choice with him. Like that's one of the options. Or I think maybe he would like want the cookie, you know? So I don't know. I saw one video about Austin where it was like, he kind of seems like he has an identity crisis of sorts where like maybe he doesn't believe what he reposts, but it's like, I don't really fuck with ignorant, dumb people. And not saying he's ignorant or dumb, but what I do think is that if he has those opinions and he's a Trumper, if he's a Trumpy and all that, then yeah, I do think his opinion is wrong. Therefore, I don't fuck with him, you know? Yeah, and that also has me feeling weird about Jaden, who also just got voted out, because it's like, why did you choose Austin over Nick? You know what I'm saying? Like, does this have to do with Trump? Trump, Trump, Trump. Yes. Okay. Like, I do think that it could be the case. And so I'm investigating, and no one wants to talk about these things. No one does. And if I find out that any of the girls I like are Trump supporters, I'm going to kill myself. Amaya would never. There's no way. Who else? Shelly and Alandria? No. Like, they're everything. And Hoda would never. Okay. Did Hoda vote? Did Hoda vote? Let's wake this up. And I don't think she did. But if she did, then I like her 10 times more. I do. And I already like her a lot. So back to the men. Pepe. Okay. I don't like Pepe for one reason, because why are you only fucking with the white girls? So I don't have a chance? I didn't ask to be born Latina, and now that I'm thinking about it, I'm fucking pissed about it. But it's like, what's going on there? Because it's only the blonde white girls that he wants to be with. And is this good news for me? No. He doesn't want a piece of this pie. In fact, no one fucking does. But that doesn't make it hurt any less. Yeah, so loving Pepe. Nick, I think, is really funny. I really do like Nick. He's probably like the type of guy I would definitely go for if I was as beautiful as any of the villagers, the villa girls or the bombshells. Yeah, I would probably go for Nick, I think, out of all of them. Nick and Pepe, because the rest of them are kind of chops to me. Ace. Do I talk about Ace now? Is this the part of the episode where I talk about Ace? Because I need to get ready for my blood pressure to rise. Because don't piss me off, Ace. I'm going to try to talk about him without getting loud and without getting upset. Ace. Why did he vote Jeremiah out? Let's ask ourselves this. Because he knew that he is the chop. He thinks he is all that. And it's all the fault of Taylor and Nick. I think that Ace has his little puppies and that he plays this game and he is like a ringleader in the villa. And I think it's gross. And I think the best part of this, like, I don't even have to get up that upset because I think he got a slice of humble pie during the challenge where America voted him at like the bottom of everything. Like the fact that he put himself at number one boyfriend material and he got moved down to eighth or ninth. Second to last. I'm like, that's all I needed. That's all I needed this whole time. And you could tell his ego was shattered. You could tell he was pissed. You could tell he was livid. And good, be bad, because you've pissed me the fuck off this whole damn time. It's your vibe. Your vibe is like the fart. We are not letting that man win. Collectively, it's never happening. He's not funny to me. He's above it all. The way he treated Amaya, I will never forgive him for that alone. Because he treated her with so much disrespect for what? For what? Because he was so high and fucking mighty. He's all that, oh, I'm the king. I'm the king of my castle. And I don't do this and this. And oh, you're weird if you do this. And oh, I do things my way. And you need to respect me like this because I'm the king and I'm the one. And oh, you should bow down to me because I'm the man. You are 5'6 and look chopped as fuck. Yeah, no. Who? You are the chop. The chop. The chop. The chop. Okay. And I'm going to stop there because it is rude. These are real people and I understand that. But I just don't like men. And out of all the men, I don't like Ace the most. I just think that his attitude is bad and he grosses me out. I know a lot of people were really on their high horse talking about last season, season 6, where they were like, oh, it's the best season ever. Everyone needs to watch it. But then when that was happening, I was like, I don't really give a damn. Like, I don't know. Something about this season is enticing. And a lot of people online are just being like, just end the season now. Just end the season. Like, it's just no one's coupled up. It's boring. Just end the season. I'm like, and that's the same thing that people were saying about Hoda. They were like, just get rid of her. Just get rid of Hoda. Like, she doesn't even deserve to be here anymore. Like, she's a mean girl and she's a freak. I'm like, okay, so you want to sit at home and watch paint dry. That's the type of person you are. I see the type of person you are. Because why would you want something to end that is endlessly entertaining? Because even though this season is the chop and there's like no couples, no love, no romanticism among really any of them, it is so entertaining. It is so entertaining. And not to say the other seasons are entertaining. I bet they're all entertaining. But this one is like, I'm into it. So why are people like, just end it now. Just get rid of the season. I'm like, okay, then you can stop watching and go home and watch paint fucking dry. Yeah, you could go do that. Because I'm going to keep watching. I don't want it to end. I'm so sad. I'm like, what am I going to do every single day for an hour at 6 p.m.? What am I going to do? Because I have nothing. Nothing. Because also, don't get me started on Drag Race. Don't get me started on all these other things, all these other shows. I'm like, nothing compares now. Nothing really compares. And that's why I'm upset that I took so long to finally watch it. Because I'm like, I was on my high motherfucking horse thinking I was that bitch. I missed out. I missed out completely. And I really, really wish I watched season 6 because I'm not going to now. I'm not going to watch any season other than this one. And I'm just going to wait for the next one to come out. But yeah, I love this cast. I want to be friends with them. Hey. Okay. Yeah, so that's kind of my thoughts. I'm gonna end it there because it's been too long of me talking about this. It's been too long, but I've enjoyed it. As of now, I'm saying it here, and I bet every single one of you guys watching this agrees with me. Amaya for the win. Give her the 100K alone. She doesn't. No, don't even give her a partner. Fuck all those men. She deserves just 100K. But that's the thing too. It's like, imagine being Amaya or any of the girls. Really, I feel like Amaya and Hoda especially. No, honestly, and Alandria and Shelly. Like, duh, they're gonna get out of that villa. And immediately, millionaires. Immediately. But especially Amaya. I'm like, I cannot imagine the brands who are banging at the door of anyone who knows Amaya. Begging. Being like, please, the second she gets back, we have to talk to her. We have to do this. We want to do this campaign with her. Millions of dollars. coming her way for the rest of this year. And I'm excited for her because she is so deserving. And what is Amaya going to do next? What is Alandria going to do? Because she is going to model and gag me every day. I'm going to shit on myself. Like, I'm sorry. I'm literally jobless. That was the most jobless rant I could have ever had in my life. Guys, you could DM me job applications for like maybe Wendy's. I don't know, anything. Because the fact that I was just able to go on like a 30-minute rant about Love Island, it concerns me deeply. It really does. And this is not good. So this is what I'm talking about earlier in the episode when I was saying I'm flop maxing recently. I'm getting rid of all my responsibilities and focusing on everything else in my life. I don't want to exist right now. I'm not in a place in my life where I want to exist and be a person. But right now, I just want to be like a being who puts my energy into focusing on other people and other things. One of those things, yeah, Love Island. It's been a hyperfixation. Another thing has been Grow a Garden. That's another way I've been wasting my time is with that Roblox game, which by the way, get a job. Yeah, like seriously, I need a fucking job. I literally need to get a job and stop like training my brain to be Coco Melon for a Roblox game. Like ASMR mush, that's what Grow a Garden is doing to my brain. They're mushing and doing ASMR slime challenges with my brain. And this is the fault of who? Jandal. And don't get me started on him, the creator of Grow a Garden. I think the creator of Grow a Garden needs to go to jail. I do, because he's on here talking every day about, guys, I'm sorry, you don't like my game. My updates suck. You guys don't like me. My wife is gonna leave me because you guys don't like my game. Like, I'm not kidding. That's how the creator of Grow a Garden acts. And it cracks me the fuck up because I'm like, you are rolling in wads of cash. I found out yesterday that the game Grow a Garden has raised, it has doubled the share price of Roblox. And it's wild to me. And it's the most addictive game. I know he's rolling in millions of dollars, but he's pissing me off because he wants to say, oh, you guys don't like my game. Sorry, I'm the flop. Actually, do you want to know the truth? Is that you f***ed with my brain so bad that I'm never going to be able to go 3 hours without playing it now. Yeah, so this is my daily PSA, my weekly PSA. Don't ever play that game, by the way. Don't. So yeah, that's kind of been another thing I've been doing that's like bad for my soul and well-being is I've been playing Grow a Garden every day. Yeah, Grow a Garden, Love is Blind. It's just all Coco Melon for my big fat ass. It's just all Coco Melon for my brain, my adult brain that is struggling. It's struggling in the real world. So that's what I do. That's what I lean on. Anyways, on to bigger, better things for the rest of this episode. I don't want to bore everyone. If you're just coming to this because you don't watch Love Island, hi, welcome back. I want to say, I'm so sorry. It's going to be a shorter episode for you this week.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
But welcome back. Let's get on to what I touched on earlier. I'm going to tell you guys some of my paranormal experiences. I don't have many, but why not go through them? Yeah, let's tell some of my scary stories. Yes. I haven't even touched on it. The fact that, yeah, Mick Riley may be in the room with us today. I got my bob on. My bob is fire. Bob, and I'm not talking sponge. Got my bob on, and I'm not talking sponge. If I see you in the street, then I'm a lunge. Breathe fire out my mouth like I'm the dragon dunge. Okay. So let's talk about some scary stories, guys. I want to touch on the first one that I think is the most compelling to me, because it really, like, I still have not one way to disprove this. I really can't think of a single explanation for this, and it doesn't make sense. This all happened when I was in, I think, 7th grade. And at the time, I had a green iPhone 5C. This is important information for this story. This was an era of my life where my mom was really into taking my phone away from me. You know, she was very anti-phone, anti-social media. That was always her vibe. So one night, I was on my phone. I'd said goodnight to my mother, and I proceeded to, after that, then go on my phone. And I should have known better, because my mom would always clock this. I think she probably had an instinct, you know? I had an instinct for when she was going to catch me on my phone, the same way that I feel like she had an instinct for when I was awake and on my phone, when I shouldn't have been. You know, like, mother knows best, and I know my mother. So we would always have like this weird intuitive thing going on. But yeah, one night my intuition was, you know, it was chopped. And so I was on my phone and my mom caught me, you know? And so she was like, this is not acceptable. Give me your phone. So I was like, okay, my phone's going on the counter tonight, and that's okay. You know, that just happens sometimes. Sometimes my mom would take my phone and put it on the counter. I wouldn't be able to use it until I, you know, went to bed and woke up the next day. So I had my phone taken away and went to sleep. Another thing that I want to say is my mom also didn't like when I was on my phone early in the morning. If she came in my room and I was on my phone, she would be like, get off your phone. You just woke up. You need to do this and this and this, and then you could use your phone. Like, she was just a freak about it. Love my mother, but like, girl, exhausting. But anyways, so then I woke up the next morning after all of this, and I went under my pillow and grabbed my phone. And I started going on my phone. I go on Instagram, and the first thing I see on Instagram was a picture posted by Kalel, I believe her name is, Anthony Padilla's first girlfriend, or like that first public relationship. If you know, you know. I used to, I guess, be an Anthony Padilla fan. I don't know. I loved them. This might have been after they broke up. I don't know, because I was like a Kalel fan after that. So I remember that was the first thing I saw was a picture she posted. She was sitting in crisscross applesauce, it looked like, with her feet like right here. And then she had a bowl of salad. It was like an aesthetic photo that she took of her salad. I remember I saw it. I looked at it. I was like, oh, nice salad. Great salad. Yeah. So I saw that post. Got it? And then I heard my mom walking and I was like, fuck. So I grabbed my phone, turned it off, put it under my pillow and pretend to be asleep so that my mom didn't know that I was on my phone right after I woke up, you know, because that was like a big no-no. So then she comes in my room. I was correct. She, you know, barged in and was like, good morning. Let's get up. Let's do your things today. And so whatever, she leaves and I'm like, okay, let's get back to my phone. Like, what? Let's keep going with this. And this is where things get fucking freaky. So my mom leaves my room and I go to look for my phone that I just put under my pillow. It's not there. And I'm like, that's weird. I guess it fell and I didn't notice. I keep looking and then I get up because I'm like, okay, where did it go? And then I start like really like I take out my pillow. I remember specifically getting my hand and shoving it in my pillowcase because I thought maybe when I shoved my phone under my pillow that it went inside of the pillowcase, you know? So I remember going, looking inside the pillowcase, taking my pillow off the pillowcase, looking behind my bed, under my bed. My phone was gone. My phone wasn't there anymore. So then I go downstairs and I see my phone sitting on the counter of the kitchen. And I was like, what do you mean? And then I remembered in that instant, I was like, holy shit. My phone was never upstairs. My mom took my phone away last night, but it existed. I had it in my hands and was looking through Instagram. So then you're probably thinking at this point in the story, okay, so it was probably like a really realistic dream because I've heard of this before. I've heard of that happening where you have really realistic dreams of waking up and using your phone or going to the bathroom or something. But it was so visceral for me because I remember the way it felt in my hands. I remember going on Instagram. But do you want to know where it gets fucking crazy? Because I grab my phone from the kitchen counter. I do. And I open Instagram. And what is the first thing on my Instagram? Miss Kalel come to the stage because it was the same photo of her salad and her feet in the aesthetic salad photo that I was talking about. There it was, front and center. And I remember it wasn't even like deja vu because it's like I was awake and I knew it. Like I knew it was there and it was the details were as I remembered exactly. So it wasn't like I woke up and was like, I've seen this before. It was like, no, what? Because I just saw this on my phone upstairs and my phone wasn't upstairs. Like it was taken away from me. So how did I duplicate my phone in this moment? Like it was like I was in a different reality for a second. It was fucking crazy. Another weird technology thing that happened is, again, my mom was so specific with, this is a really actually fucking ridiculous one, like thinking about it right now. I haven't ever told this story. So this is a separate incident. Again, my phone was always under my pillow because I didn't want my mom to take my phone or check my phone or, like, you know, I was a bad kid. I was always, like, doing things on my phone that I just didn't want my mom to see or whatever, like playing Movie Star Planet and talking to boys, like whatever. So this one instance, I remember, I also, my mom was very specific with the music I was allowed to listen to. She didn't want me listening to vulgar music. This was after Nicki Minaj's Anaconda came out. So I remember I fell in love with the song the second I listened to it, of course. So I, you know, bought it, downloaded it, whatever the hell, had it on my phone. So I remember my phone was sitting under my pillow and it was completely off. I hadn't been listening to music all day and I had shut my phone off completely, you know, gotten rid of all apps. Everything was off and I had my phone under my pillow. And my mom came to my room as she did every night to come sit on my bed and say goodnight to me before I went to sleep. But I remember thinking, I was like, I really hope that the song Anaconda does not just start blasting from my phone. The second that thought left my mind, my phone, which was off under my pillow, started blasting Anaconda by Nicki Minaj. My Anaconda don't. And I was like, what? And my mom was like, what is that? And I was like, are you kidding? Who did that? That's not normal. I've never told that before, but isn't that fucking crazy? Yeah, so there was always weird technology things happening. And that first story specifically, I could never explain how that was possible. I mean, the best thing I could do is chop it up to being like a dream of sorts, or like it must have been a dream, but then I don't know. But then I think about it and I think about all the details of the story that I really viscerally remember. And it's like, that was no dream. That was no fucking dream. Like I remember being on my phone. I remember the feeling of that phone in my hands that very morning and the feeling of me getting up and looking for it after I put it under my pillow and it had vanished. And it was so real that I told all my friends about it immediately the day it happened. Like, it was just ridiculous. So yeah, that was something really odd that happened. Here's another story. This is probably the most unexplainable story of my life. And this one is just as crazy, if not crazier than the first one. And this one's hard to talk about because I'm going to get shamed. I'm going to get shamed along with all of my friends, probably from you and maybe in the comments. But I'm going to say something. It's unexplainable. To this day, there is no explanation and I cannot actually believe. Okay.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
So this all started on a lovely, lovely December night. And this happened with me and three of my best friends. These are the best kinds of things because it's not just me here. No, I could get all of them here and we could talk about this to you for hours. We have had endless conversations about this night, this era. Like, this story bonds us together like glue because it's like group trauma. Okay, so this all happened, yes, a December night. We had a sleepover at my friend Maya's house. And we went over there and this was routine for us. She was the friend with like the sick backyard, you know, like the sick house. She had the kind of house where there were different spots for us to hang out. We could be as loud as we wanted and it was no problem. So yeah, this specific night, it was my friend Avery. And this really centers around her. We would make so many vlogs together as a friend group. Who else did this? We used to love making vlogs together just for fun. They would never go anywhere, never be posted. But we loved making videos. So this particular day, we were opening gifts from each other because it was either right before Christmas or right after. But I think it was before because I'm pretty sure this was like our Christmas sleepover. We were like celebrating. And so we recorded ourselves opening gifts. And during this time, my friend Avery had her phone. She was the one recording with her iPhone 6S rose gold. Got it? We did that. And then we were like, let's play Pictionary. Like, we were bored. Our next thing we were going to do was play Pictionary. So then we were like, let's record this as well. So we were recording ourselves playing Pictionary. Do I remember much from the session, the game? No. But what do I remember? Everything that happened next. After we record, we go upstairs with all of our stuff. We were hanging out on the couch and we were having fun. And we were living life and we were being free. We were sitting on the couch upstairs at my friend's house. And I started playing a game on my phone. And my friend Avery looks at me. Keep in mind, the friend Avery, yes, who was recording and making the vlog, the one who was recording all the footage of us playing Pictionary and the footage of us, you know, opening gifts. She was like, that game looks so fun. I want to play that game. So she's like, I want to download it. Where's my phone? Where's my phone? My phone's gone. So I was downstairs and she was like, no, I'm serious. Like, my phone is gone. Like, is it down there? So I look around. I'm like, no, it's not down here. And she was like, I just swear I had it upstairs. We look around a little bit. We, you know, check inside the couch. That was our first spot we looked, was like inside the couch that we were sitting on, her and I. It wasn't there. And then she was like, you know what? I think I left it downstairs where we were recording, where we were playing Pictionary. Let's go look. So we go right back down to where we were maybe 5 minutes prior to look for her phone, where we just were using it to record. It wasn't there. But I was like, it's fine. Like, this always happens. You know, we were in a Texas McMansion. If you know the vibe, you know, the houses are large. And, you know, we were young kids. And yeah, maybe we misplaced something. Maybe something got misplaced, but, you know, we were going to find it. So then it goes from like level one fear of like, oh, where's my phone? To, you know, a solid level two of like, okay, what? Where is it? It's maybe 10 minutes. And it's like, okay, it's been 10 minutes of looking for this phone. Like, where is it? So we start searching everyone's bag. We start searching, you know, really like digging around in the carpet downstairs. We start looking under things. We start looking in things. We look at places such as the pot where a plant is. We look inside the pot. Is the phone in there? No, it's not in there. Maybe around 30 minutes later, we're like, God, this got really like placed somewhere weird, or it fell somewhere weird. Like, where did it go? So we're at level three fear now. We're at level three. We start looking in rooms that we didn't even go into. We start looking in the trash can. We start looking in the fridge. We start looking in the garage. We start looking in bedrooms where we had not stepped a foot in. We couldn't find it. Maybe an hour, 2 hours into looking for this phone, we're at level six. Because where did it go? It got weird. We were like, this is so stupid. Losing something is something that we don't talk about enough. Losing something is ridiculous. It sucks to lose something. Because it's like, where did it go? It didn't just vanish, you know? So we were like, God, where is it? Like, where is this phone? So we start looking in the most ridiculous places. And by this point, we had searched the common areas as if a police investigation force was occurring. And we were looking for evidence against a murder trial. We started ripping apart every single piece of furniture in that room looking for that phone. Flipping upside down, moving up and down and around, moving the furniture around the room, opening every single person's bag and looking through every single belonging of our bags, like our sleepover bags. Couldn't find the phone. Going downstairs into that room we were recording in, looking in every single board game box that was in the room, searching deep inside of the closet that was in that room, even though we hadn't even gotten the closet, looking for holes in the carpet as if the phone somehow slipped through a hole in the carpet, in the ground, like the installed carpet of the house. Again, searching obscure places such as the piano, looking inside of an acoustic piano, like at the strings of the piano, looking inside of pillowcases, looking inside of every single piece of trash put in the trash can, looking inside of the pantry, moving everything around in the pantry, looking inside of the fridge, the freezer, looking inside of every single cupboard and cabinet in that probably 3,000 square foot house. Looking inside of my friend's brother's room at his belongings, seeing if he stole it. We started accusing people of stealing it because there was no other explanation as to where this phone went. And you are probably wondering one thing and have been wondering one thing throughout this whole entire story. Hey, find my friends. Find my friends. You know, ping the phone. Let's just ping the phone and find out where it is. Log on to find my friends on my phone or any of my other friends' phones and ping to the phone to find it very easily. Or, hey, called it. We could have just called it to find it. The phone was dead. The phone died immediately after it was lost. It was on 2%. She remembered the phone being on 2% because we were recording, you know, that takes up like storage and like juice on a phone. The phone died the second that it went missing. There was zero way to contact it. Zero. We probably lost the phone around 9 or 10 p.m. We were up until 4 in the morning, ripping the house apart. And I really want to say, ripping. Every single crevice had been searched thoroughly and repeatedly. Repeatedly. There was nothing. The phone was gone. Okay, look, I'm sorry if I sound redundant at all or annoying throughout so far in the story, but I'm telling you, there is a reason I am going so hard into this. And it just stick around. A day went by. 2 days went by. Another week went by of us continuing to go back to the house and search for it. And we concluded after hours and 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 hours of searching that it was gone. And there was no way we were ever going to find it because it was just, it was a lost cause. It got to a point where we were searching places we had searched what felt like at least 10 plus times. Immediately after this happened, it became a very, very important topic of our friend group. This is something that all of our families know about. My parents know about this story. All of my friends' families know about it, about how ridiculous it is, because we all went through this and don't understand. For years, the four of us have had conversations that have lasted hours. We've probably talked a collective at least 24 hours about that night and about how we don't understand where it went. If the phone wasn't dead when we lost it, and if we were still able to contact that phone, where the fuck would it be? Because we looked everywhere. And you want to know where it gets crazier? My friend moved out of this house very shortly after this. Moved out, meaning movers taking up everything in the house and putting all the furniture back in a new house in a different state. The phone was not found throughout packing or unpacking or moving of anything in that house. We really think a demon ghost took it. That's like the best conclusion we can come up with, is that the phone entered an alternate timeline, that it ceases to exist because it just doesn't make sense. We still continue to talk about it and joke about it. We have theories and jokes about where the phone went and like little made up stories about like, oh, this person stole the phone and they're still not telling us. Like, we joked about it heavily, and it was a huge topic of conversation between the four of us for years and years and years. It was a fable. We had turned this into a literal fable written in like stones. Like, this was like our lore. That was like our number one lore, was the missing iPhone 6s rose gold. Where did it go? The fact it's in the nether. It entered the nether. That's where the story ended off. Until one random Wednesday. Eight years after this happened, we get a text in our group chat. And I'll put the text right on the screen for you guys. My friend Maya's mother sent Maya a photo of the phone and said, OMG, could this be Avery's phone? When I got that photo, I cannot describe what I was feeling. Where the fuck was it? Do you want to know where it was found? One day, their dog accidentally pooped on the couch. Thank God to that dog, by the way. And they moved the couch, slid it over a little bit, and the phone didn't fall out of it. No, the phone was sitting on the ground. Just sitting there. After this couch had been moved by movers in moving trucks at least 3 times, this couch had been picked up, taken in and out of homes, up and down stairs, and moved. And one random day, 8 years after we lost this phone, they literally slid the couch and it was sitting on the ground. After we had searched this couch hundreds of times. You might be thinking, oh, that's a really uneventful way to end this story. Oh, you found the phone in the couch. No, no. We looked through that couch 100 times. I believe that the phone was still in a different universe, and we shifted back to like the 2018 timeline the second that phone was found. And it's still the most insane thing to ever happen to me. And I'm sorry if this story was boring, but you know what? This wasn't boring for me because I lived through it. And this was some of my most memorable, questionable lore, because there's still, to me, in my opinion, zero explanation for how we did not find it that very, very day. Zero explanation for how we searched that couch hundreds of times and did not see the phone in the couch. I don't have any explanation for this. And I just don't understand. But it felt paranormal to me at the time. And I still think about it as a paranormal experience. And the phone has yet to be turned on. The phone was broken when we got it. It was sitting on the ground and the battery is like doesn't work anymore. I think because it was dead for so long, it doesn't work. And we'll have to see what we find on it when we eventually, you know, turn, or when she eventually gets it fixed and turns it on. Because it's almost scary. It's like, what could be on there? It's just ridiculous. Because even like when this happened, like a few days before the phone was found, we were talking about it. We were having another one of our routine conversations about where the fuck the phone went. Once a year, we would have like 3-hour long talks about this because it was just, it was perplexing to us. But I hope that was interesting to you. And I would love to know if you guys have any sort of paranormal experiences as well. Because yeah, I mean, that kind of goes along with it. I don't know. You know, you could have your own opinion about that. I believe that there was something paranormal happening there because it just doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. It's inexplainable to me, you know, being one who lived through that experience. It doesn't make any sense. But I would love to know if y'all have any thoughts or opinions. But I said in the beginning of this, I said, y'all are probably gonna have some opinions on me. Y'all are probably gonna think I'm just lying or like should have looked harder. But it goes way past that. Guys, thank you for watching this episode. And I want to say, hopefully it was a good one. I feel like I had a lot of fun today. And I've been feeling really grateful for you guys. Grateful grapefruit. I'm really happy that I had to tell so many of my fun stories today, and I hope you guys enjoyed. And sorry for the non-Love Island watchers. This was probably rude and crude for you to have to witness this week's episode because, God, I couldn't shut my damn trap about it. Till the next one, you guys. I'm going to work on my happiness and my doom scrolling. Let's all stop doom scrolling together. No more doom scrolling 2025. Say it with me. No more doom scrolling. Oh, go check out my Patreon. I posted a Not Thriving After Dark episode on there, and we have a Get Ready With Me coming on the Patreon very, very soon. And yeah, I'm excited for you guys to see it and excited for you guys to catch up with me next time. I love you guys. See you on the flip side. Bye.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.